the 2nd of August 2017. I'm at Phil and Becky's Fellowship tonight. We've just had a wonderful meal, great fellowship and some good news and sharing testimonies of great things that are happening. What was in my heart tonight was to talk about my diet. But I'm not going to teach on my diet, but I just want to start off with this because before I decided to go on this diet, before we done, I'd done it with Kim and Leanne with Slimming World, I already made up my mind that I was going to lose weight. And so I started my own diet by looking up different things that people have done. Before I actually commenced it, I had to make that decision that this is it, I'm going to follow this through and I'm going to keep to it. Because before I would start and be half committed to what I was doing. But now, when I made up my mind this time, I was fully committed to doing it. And I'd lost a stone in weight even before I started Slimming World. Then Leanne, she wanted to lose weight because she'd just given birth and she had loads of weight on from a size 10 up to a size 16 or 20 or wherever she was. And Kim wasn't feeling too great in herself and it was because of the diet. And then so I said to Kim, you need to change your diet. And then Leanne mentioned Slimming World. So when me and Kim was out at the cafeteria on a Saturday eating healthy food for me, there was this lady promoting Slimming World. So I went up to her and said, you know, like, we would like to join. Can you tell us a bit more? And so all three of us made a commitment together that if we're going to start this, we will finish it and we will lose the weight. The whole point of me sharing this is that we made the commitment. And once you make a commitment with anything, that gives you the strength to follow through in the actions required to do that commitment. And it's, so it's not just a one-off thing. It's not just like, oh, it's a good idea, we'll do that. But you're not fully engaging into what you're doing. And it really got me to think about believers. There's times in our walk that we can be fully committed. We get born again. We confess Jesus Christ as our Lord. We believe God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We receive Holy Spirit. We've made Jesus Lord. To make Jesus Lord is that he's first in everything. And when we're born again, when we first become born again of the Spirit of God, we're full on. But then life also happens as well, and things come up, challenges come up, discouragement comes up, or there might be disagreement somewhere along the line, and then we start to lose that commitment. And Jesus Christ was sharing with the disciples that if the salt has lost its savour, it is henceforth good for nothing and to be thrown out and trodden under the foot of man. And salt represents commitment in the Bible. If we're really going to move for God, we got to be committed to what we believe. Because we can believe in something, but believing also connotes action. True faith has action in it. So we could say, yeah, I believe, and yeah, I believe that, but it could be mental assent and just knowledge that we have about believing, but we're not actually practicing the truths. And also being a believer for many years, going to fellowship, going through the routines of things, it can become a routine as well that we go fellowship Monday and Thursday and Wednesday, and then it just becomes a routine. But we got to be committed to what we're really doing. That why are we going to fellowship? Because number one, we want to hear from God. And we want to know what God's working in the hearts of the people that are teaching us. So that we can bring it to our lap and to our hearts. That we can work that and apply it in our life. So we're going to be really successful. We got to know our commitment. We got to know our goal. And then we got to be committed to the goal. So basically, the cause is that we want to walk with God, we want to see the word move out to other people and around the world and to people's hearts and lives. That is the cause, right? You know, that we are moving with God, we're living unto God, and we're not living unto ourselves. So you can decide whether you want to commit to that. Yeah, I want to be faithful day in, day out, not just going to the fellowship, but I'm actually living this in my life, that I'm actually building that word in my heart. I'm practicing the truths that I know, because we can have loads of knowledge, but knowledge doesn't mean nothing if you're not applying it. And people will see you before they hear what you say. And I, you know, I've learned that because for many years, you know, in my younger days as a believer, I would talk all Bible. But I wasn't really living it, so it didn't match up. And even now, I'm still learning to do all this and balance it out. But it is a balance. And when we go to God, when we really turn our hearts to the Father, Father, yeah, I want to live unto you. I know I got goals in my life other than this as well, but you are my main priority, and I'm committing to you. And I know that when I put you first, you'll help me in all the other goals I got, like in my work or in my relationships or your hobbies. You might have a hobby that you like doing. Your first priority is your commitment to God, because you've made Jesus Christ Lord. To make him Lord is that, Lord, I'm ready to do what you want me to do. And so when we do that from a free heart, without force or without anyone pushing on us, then we can have that freedom. Then we got the strength to move forward. And I know being a minister myself, when I was immature as a minister, when I began, I would kind of expect people to do everything that I was teaching them, everything that I was saying. But really, that's not my responsibility to do that. My responsibility is to hold forth, preach and teach what God works in my heart, what I'm living, and show by example. And then it's up to you what you do with what's being taught to you. So like I was sharing about the seed, you know, the farmer doesn't dig up the seed to see how it's growing. Well, the word of God is seed, and once that's sown, it will grow. It's according to the heart, the type of ground, that word's going to grow. And it's according to someone else's desire and what they want to do. Some people right now, and they might not be 100% committed. They might have so much going on that they haven't even thought about making that commitment. But there does come a time when God encouraged us and said, look, if you really want to move, you need to put me first, 100%. Mm-hmm. And we know that the two great commandments is, first is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and then to love your neighbour as yourself. That's the first two things, and we can commit to that, right? Yeah. We can do that, we can make up our mind, that's something, Father, that I want to do based upon that your love for me, and I want you to help me in my walk, I want you to help me to grow. So these things are just so important that, you know, when we look at things, we can't make somebody else grow. They grow according to their desire and according to what they're learning and their application of what they learn. A lot of people can learn massive amounts of knowledge of scripture or any other thing in the world as well and be very clever with that. You can see if they're applying it by the fruit in their life, by what is the evidence of this knowledge that they've got. Are they actually living it? Are they getting the results? Like a farmer or a gardener may know how to plant certain things and to cause them to grow in a particular way. You know, he might have all the knowledge to do these things, but if he doesn't do anything with it, the seeds are going to stay in the packet, right? Nothing's going to happen. So it's like with anything, a baker, they may have all the greatest recipes and can make the greatest cakes, but unless they put those ingredients together and apply themselves, they're not going to get any cakes, they're not going to make any money, they're not going to satisfy other people with their goods. You know, so really, I just want to share tonight about commitment. It's a lifestyle. You know, this being a believer is a lifestyle, and we're learning to live it. Even if you've been in the Word of God for 40 years, you're still learning. And sometimes we can think, we can work out a system of our own thinking it's the right way, but unless God's breathing over it, it's just a system. And we don't want to be stuck in systems. You know, we want to go to the fountains of living water and let God work in our life through that relationship. And the commitment that we have is based on love. Like God committed himself to us through Jesus Christ, and that was based on love. And when we make our commitment to God, it's based upon his love and our love for him and our response to him, because we really do see what he's done. Can you see? So once we've committed, we have strength to move forward in our commitment. And that's very important to remember. You have to decide, and then the desire, and then the details come. You know, you get detail of what you're doing. You get the focus, the vision, the direction. And then you got the deliverance. And to have no vision, we wander aimlessly. So, you know, once you got the vision, you just need to commit to that vision of what God's working in your life. And God is working in us individually, differently, in different ways, in diverse ways he's working. And then we bring to the table what God works in us. And that makes up the part of the body of Christ, right? So when we commit to God, it's showing also that we're trusting God. When we're not committing to God, we're not trusting him. Like if there's a teaching on renewing the mind, maybe we think it's a cult. It's trying to brainwash us, you know, because there's no trust in God, you know, or you're not trusting the person that's teaching or what you're hearing. But it comes down to trusting God's word. And once we can trust something, then we can make a commitment to it. It's like you wouldn't take on a job until you find out all the details of the job. And once you're satisfied with those details, you can say, yeah, this is for me. I want this. So is the Word of God for you? Is this lifestyle for you? And only you can make that decision. And even though we may be born again, some people just are just so distracted with everything else that they don't want to fully commit. And then they wonder why sometimes their prayers don't get answered. There's no kind of flowing in their finances or their relationships. And really, it comes down to this commitment with God and really making a point of having him first in your life, regardless of all the things you may have to do in your daily living. You can still have God first. And, you know, and then once it's in with God first, like for me, I got a family, you got a little family now. God is first in my relationship. Mm. Then it's my wife. Then it's my kids. Mm. Then it's the church of God. So we have to have the priorities right. And I know it's very easy to slip in. For years also, I done the thing where it was God first, the fellowship second, my wife, my kids last. Yeah. And I'd done that for years because I thought that was really the right way to do it. And I was closer to God for doing that. Mm. But it's the wrong perspective. The word of God shows us that if we're going to rule the church of God, we've got to rule our own houses well. Mm. So how I am with my family is how I'm going to be with the church of God. Mm. So these things are it's just really wonderful. You can see that God puts everything in its place. And once we know the places, then we can commit to those things. And then we can apply that in our life. And it takes time. It takes time to grow as a believer. But we're growing every day. We can be strong every day, but we grow stronger once we, you know, we just keep faithful to the commitment that we've made. Like God has kept faithful to his word, which he's committed to us. Matthew chapter 8, we can see that Jesus Christ, he also required commitment from those that were really going to follow him. And he would challenge people, you know, to show them where their commitment level was and to show them where their heart was. You can't grow if you're never being challenged. I'm always being challenged. You know, from the first time I took this wonderful class that changed my life, no sooner I was in the next fellowship, I was being challenged because I was saying all the wrong things. You know, cause I didn't really work the material to understand the things how it should be. So I was always being reproved. Kim used to say to me, when we go to fellowship next, don't say nothing. She goes, check with me before you're going to ask a question. And I say, all right. My earlier part of my walk. But obviously, I have grown in those years. You know, that was when I was 20 years old. That was 30 years ago. So that shows you I'm only 25 now. So anyway, Matthew chapter 8 and verse 18, it says, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandments to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 20. And Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. So whatever reason this guy had, he truly had to go and bury his father. He might be getting an inheritance, and he was the first in line, and he wanted to be there. There could have been a multiplicity of reasons, but it doesn't say it here. Mm. But the point was, Jesus still required, look, you follow me. You've got to forsake all and follow me. You know, that's the level of commitment if you're going to move with me and you're going to do the Father's business with me. As we go to the scriptures and let the word speak to us, we can see what it's going to take. You know, like in Revelation, it says in there, it's about being hot and cold. And lukewarm. You'd rather that you be cold. You'd rather that you don't even know anything or you turn away from everything than be lukewarm, because you can't do anything if you're lukewarm. Commitment either way is important. But obviously we want to be committed to moving with God and to having God first and Jesus Christ as our Lord, and that we're really ready to do what they want us to do, even if it does mean we have to leave our families to go and preach the gospel like they did in the book of Acts. They left the comforts of their own home to go and do these things. And I'm a person that's really ready to do that. You know, I want to do these things. I'm willing to go. I've proved that in my own walk. No one can ever pull me up on that, because I'm ready to go. And my wife is there backing me up in that. Now, if my wife wasn't backing me up in that, I wouldn't go, because I know God couldn't truly bless that. You know, even though my desire and my heart was right, I got to be an example to my wife first, because then my wife... how my wife is feeling will affect the family, you know, and my children are looking at me as well. So they've seen me when I haven't put my wife first. You know, they've seen me when it's all... My daughter Leanne used to say to me, it's always the fellowship lot first, isn't it? And she was right. She was right. So it's taken me... I have to be humble as well. We're going to move. We have to be humble and meet and really check ourselves. You know, yeah, I've been like that and I haven't been so great. But it doesn't mean to say I'm bad now. It just means to say I've learned to put the right things in its right place and to be committed to what God is showing me to do. We have to do what God shows us personally to do, because it's a personal walk. I have a personal relationship with the Father, and how he works in me then can play out. If I'm doing what he's showing me, it can play out to other people and bless them, be an example to them and encourage them. So God requires commitment also, right? So in Joshua, we go to the book of Joshua. I'll let you get there. So this commitment stuff is really just wonderful. And it reminds me of about girding up your loins in the Bible. And there's different contexts to girding up your loins. But the one I like is basically what they used to do when they girded up their loins. They used to pull up their garment in between the legs so they were ready to run.
Mm.
And so where we gird up our loins, like it says in Peter, is that we gird up the loins of our minds. In other words, we focus our mind on what God wants us to do. We get rid of the distractions, yeah? We pull all that out the way so that we can run. So if you think about someone girding up their loins in biblical times, they would pull up their garment, because obviously that garment was right down to their feet. They would pull that up and then they would run, like with Elijah when he outrun the army of Jezebel. You know, he had to gird up his loins. He had to pull up this girdle right up there between his legs and run like hell. So when we gird up the loins of our minds, it's also like clearing out the weeds so that we make that commitment to know where we are in our walk with God. That we are actually in alignment with God, with his heart, with his will. We know we're born again. We know we got Christ in us, the hope of glory. We know we're righteous, justified, sanctified, redeemed. We got the ministry of reconciliation. We know we can minister with power, but God wants to be first in all of that. His first concern is that he's first in what you're doing, regardless of the things that you have to do. He still can be first. So like when you get up in the morning, you know, giving your day to God, making sure your family's taken care of, making sure everybody's needs met as well as your own. These are things that you can do, that you have to do, right? And it takes time, it takes mind space, it takes effort. But when we go to God and plan all these things and pray about all these things, then it goes a lot more smoothly. Even if stuff comes up and we stub our toe on the bed, you know, annoy us even more, and there's, oh, I got to do this, or I'm running late, we overslept. But God is first. You see what I'm saying? We keep, make sure he's first in there. So that, why? So he can really bless us. He really wants us it to go well for us every day. Because it's a daily thing, this thing. It's not just on a Wednesday or a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Monday. It's every single day that we refresh our commitment every morning. Father, thank you for this. Speaking in tongues. Now, that's really like confessing Jesus Christ as our Lord when we're speaking in tongues. Now, every day we do this. And every day we give our cares out. You know, like you go off to your work, Mary goes to nursery. Father, thank you that she's protected, that everything, all the kids are blessed at that nursery, the staff are blessed because they're looking after the kids. Mm. You know, all these things are very important, that we take that time to pray. And that, Father, you bless me when I'm at work so I can be diligent doing my work, that I know I've taken care of everything at home. I've got you first and everything as much as I understand. And I don't have to think about Mary in the school. You see what I'm saying? Yeah. While you're working your butt off at work, then having to go and get her and come back and then start all over again. So daily, it's a daily thing. So in Joshua chapter 24, verse 14, it says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwelled. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So every man and every woman has to make that account and decision before God that, Father, I'm going to be committed to you. I'm making up my mind. I got the direction. Because once you got that, then you can move forward. You know, God can lead you and show you. You're not all crowded out in your mind with all the different things that are going on. And that you got the things out of your life that distract you away, contaminate your believing. Because these things contaminate your faith, you know. We all go through that at times where we can get caught up with what's going on in the world, like with ISIS and stuff like this, and or North Korea and what's happening in America and all these political things. And that can steal your time away and quickly come down in faith. So we get rid of anything that stops us from believing God. And verse 16 it says, "And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did these great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the ways wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out before us all people, even the Amorites which dwelt in the land. Therefore we will serve the Lord, for he is our God. Just cast your mind back to the great times of deliverance that God gave you, and he brought you out of your land of Egypt and into your promised land in this day and time, and how he's taking care of you. Remember the great times of fellowship, the great deliverances when you was faced with a challenge. And so this is what the people were doing here. They were remembering what God had done, and that helped them make their decision to keep God first, yeah? And verse 19 it says, "And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God, he is a jealous God, he will not forgive you your transgressions nor your sin. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he has done you good." And the people said unto Joshua, "Nay, but we will serve the Lord." They were determined, they made up their minds, and it was from their hearts. And Joshua said unto the people, "Ye are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen you, the Lord, to serve him." And they said, "We are witnesses." They was establishing the fact, right? "Now therefore, put away," said he, "the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel." What is the thing in your life that has distracted you, where you haven't inclined your heart to God, where you kind of lost your commitment through the years, maybe? And then, so what we got to do, we got to sit down with God and say, "Father, what things have I allowed in that has got me to put you third, second, or third?" Yeah. And then once we understand, because God will show you, he'll bring things to your heart. It's not that you've got to say, "Oh, I'm really sorry." You just make up your mind you're not going to let that happen again, you know. And you do that with God. It's a personal thing. I can't make you do it, see, but I can point out to you, look, you know, we can do this in our walk. "And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shishan. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us, for it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest you deny your God." So this was like in the Old Testament, it was a serious thing. But really also, like for us, we're in God's grace and favour right now. It's not that we have to work or to keep such ordinances, because Christ has done the work. But even so much more, our commitment should be even stronger. You know, this is what's in my heart that I see. And this is what, you know, I'm not perfect every day. I do things, you know, we all mess up. Thank God that we got a Saviour from the sin, right? Yeah. So I don't focus on that, but I just focus on doing the things right. And where I've made error, I do my best to correct that and put it right. Even if it's with someone else, you know, we can restore one another in love. We can encourage one another. We can be honest, say, "Oh, I messed up there. I'm really sorry," you know. Yeah. And, you know, someone else is walking in love and they got a heart towards God. Got to work in their hearts to see that. So God's commitment to us was in John 3:16, where it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So God made his commitment, yeah? And he stuck by his commitment. Jesus Christ also made a commitment to us, and he laid down his life. If we go to Romans 5, we'll see this. Romans chapter 5 and in verse 6, I'll let you get there. It says in verse 6 of Romans chapter 5, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet preaffenture for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us," there you go, John 3:16, "in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." So there we see God's commitment. We see Jesus Christ's commitment. "Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by his death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also join God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement." So, you know, we see the commitment there. It's been done. The work is finished. Jesus Christ is sat down at the right-hand side of God. He was committed to God 100% through. He was committed to the people he served, which was the Israelites at that time, but also for the world. And because he saw the joy that was set before him, this helped him to keep to his commitment. So even if you think about that, God sent angels to strengthen him in the Garden of Gethsemane. He kept God first. And when we're going through our tough time and challenges, it shouldn't be an excuse for us to cop out on our commitment with God or our fellowship with the, you know, the believers, because God doesn't want us to forsake the fellowship in together. He wants us to excite one another unto love and good works. So these things are just really great to point out. And it was just something that was very big in my heart. And it's so easy to become lukewarm. Yeah, I go to fellowship. Yeah, I can speak in tongues. Yeah, I interpret. I prophesy. I know how to work the word. I know how to minister. Blah, blah, blah. And we can get blasé about these things, even though we believe them with all our heart. But really, when it comes to the practice in our life, other things creep in and take over. You know, so we can't have anything that's going to hinder our relationship with God or block what God really wants us to do. And sometimes we can allow those things, like the pleasures of the world, we can allow to come in, and then it can get a grip on us. And that's when we just need to really go to God, and we might even need to go to another person to minister to us. If there's something in this world that we say like to do, and it's got a grip on you, and you're doing it secretly or whatever it is, God can release you from that when you just go to him and ask him, what do I do? I don't want to be in this bondage because you've set me free in Christ. And my commitment is to you, and I've seen that. I've gone off a bit here, but Father, I know you love me, and I know I'm born again, and I'm heaven bound, and all hell comes on me, but I want to live this abundant life, this fullness of joy in relationship with you and in relationship with others. Because when we go into those places, we tend not to fellowship together. There's a reason why people don't get together as believers. There's a reason why people keep their distance. It's because there might be things that in their life that they don't want other people to see. See, and our lives are supposed to be an open book, known and read of all men. And it's not a shame if there is something wrong in your life, okay? Because when you go to the fellowship of the believers, when it's exposed, it comes into light, so it can be healed. See what I'm saying? So it's all about perspective on these things as well. And we're never to judge anyone. You know, we've all done it in the past. If we put our hands up, we've all cast judgment on other believers or unbelievers. And we're wrong. You know, we're really wrong. So we have to make some judgments, godly ones. You know, sometimes we need to protect and guard our heart. Sometimes we need to make decisions for someone else. And we should always do everything in prayer with God. We need to be in that relationship with God. So our first commitment is to God and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then to our families, and then to the body of Christ. We can see the importance of this commitment in Matthew chapter 16. We'll read this. It says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." His responsibilities, right? "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Now, there's nothing wrong in going to earn a good living, right? But it shouldn't be your commitment before God. No, if we've got God first in our business and our professions, then we can truly prosper, then we can truly be blessed. A lot of people take this, you know, you should have a crappy job, or you should just get your needs met and you're blessed. But God wants you to be in a position to, you know, be blessed so that you can be a blessing. If you're in a position where you can bless and you can help people in need, that is a great thing to have. So what's the condition of your heart with these things? You know, everyone wants a good job. Everyone wants to be successful. And it's through commitment that we're successful. But a lot of people commit to the wrong thing first. And they might have God on the wings. But God said, I want to be first. And I'll really make you successful. I want to bless you. I want you to have the great things. I want you to have an influence. I want you to be able to help people. That's what we're all about. Ministry is service. And it's service to others. And that's what ministers particularly should be doing. They should be serving others. Jesus Christ showed the example when he washed his disciples' feet. He was totally committed, and he was showing them how to serve and what a leadership is all about. is about service, it's about giving. Money is a mean to meet needs. That's all money is, right? When we think of it more than anything, like, and we've all wanted to win the jackpot. No, I have. In times past, we always wanted to have loads of money so that, yeah, if I had loads of money, I can bless people. No, you can bless people now. You've got the Spirit of God in you. And as you put God first in your business and profession, then He will really prosper you. And if you use it in a right way with the Father, then He'll make you successful even the more. And He doesn't want you to just get prosperous and then go and live your cozy life by yourself and then ignore everyone else. And I see a lot of believers that have become successful, and that's what they've done. They shut themselves off and think they're above everyone else because they got their stuff together in their business and profession. Well, there's a lot of people that got their spiritual stuff together that may not have successful jobs or may not have high paying jobs, but they love the Lord, the God, with all their heart, soul, mind and strength, and they're there ministering and helping people and being a blessing to the body of Christ and being a blessing to God. Because you see the perspectives there. I'm just sharing these things. This is just what's in my heart to share. So this is what come to my heart today through prayer. And I ask God, what do you want me to share tonight? And it just comes straight in there, what to share. So verse 26 says, for what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels. Look, he's coming back, right? And then he shall reward every man according to his works. Okay, that's reward for the things that you do in this life. It's not for your salvation. You're saved if you're born again of the Spirit of God. But this is for your service, what you've done. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So to be committed, we have to be fully persuaded that what we are doing is right. Okay, if you don't believe what you're being taught or fed or where that person's going that's leading you, how can you commit to it? You can't, can you? And so that's why the fellowship that I done a teaching on Monday about fellowship with God and fellowship with one another. That's why our fellowship is so important, so that we can have goals together that God gives us, and He's working in heart. You know, and God works in the leader, but He's also working in the others so that there can be agreement and prayer, and that we come together in prayer, we pray together. It's not just one man making all the decision. That's ego trips. He may be a minister for God, but obviously he prays to God. God can put things in his heart. Then that gets confirmed amongst the believers as you're ministering, as you're working, and people come into agreement with these things. So there is a proper order, and God is a God of order. And He wants every person blessed, even if they don't see everything like somebody else may see it. Even if they don't have everything like somebody else may have it. These things are just really wonderful, that how God's just showing me now to say these things, because I know I've seen these needs in the body of Christ. So in Romans 4, in Romans chapter 4, verse 18, we read about Abraham. In verse 18 it says, who, Abraham, against hope, believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations. So God had promised him that he was going to become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he wasn't weak in his believing. He considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old. He was 99. Neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. She was 90. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he God had promised, he God was able to perform. So Abraham staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. Mm-hmm. And sometimes with the things that we're learning, we can stagger through unbelief, right? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, we could be in a fellowship and you could have a wonderful teacher and someone come up and say to you, well, I don't agree with that. And it can put doubt in your heart, right? But Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, even though it had not come to pass by the time Sarah was 90, he was 99 and Sarah was 90. He did not lose his confidence in God's word to him. He was absolutely sure that God would carry out his promise. Okay, so God has said this to him. 25 years has passed, but he was 100% fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was going to do. What has God promised you? What has God spoken in your life through his word? Fire his spirit to you, fire another believer to you. I'm sure you've been prophesied over by someone before, that someone's come up to you and said, God has put this in my heart to say to you. And for me, I had that say to me, and I've had it established a couple of times exactly what God is going to do in my life. I haven't seen it in the way I think it's going to happen yet, but it's going to happen. I'm 100%. Mm. So how God works in me now is how I will continue to move, because that's how God works in me until God shows me different. Excuse what I'm saying. I know that part of that, what was spoken in my life, is happening. And not the way I thought it would be, but it's happening. And here, unless God will escalate that. He's going to escalate 100%. If we truly believe in God's word to us, we will act upon that word. But most people mentally assent. Mm. And so, like, people come to fellowship, they hear about believe, and they hear about abundant sharing, they hear about ministering, they may practice for a while, they may see the healings. I've known people that come to fellowship, have seen the miracles and the healings. And I know people that have abundantly shared with great heart towards God, and God has tremendously blessed them back almost immediately. Mm. And sometimes down the road, they've got, you know, what they've been believing God for, and God has tremendously blessed them. God has proven that his word is true to them. And but the point, what I'm saying is that God is faithful. And even though people can see healings and miracles and see how God has blessed them when they've been faithful in their giving or faithful in their ministering to others, they can still be sidetracked off if they're not 100% committed to God, the cause. You know, like you see these films, you've got people committed to the cause, you know. And we got to be that committed. No, if a professional footballer is so committed to his team and his game that he's practicing all those hours so that they get to the top, and they work hard to stay at the top. And then you've got professional boxers. You know, my sport's boxing. But they work and they train, and they train so hard, you know, and they fight so hard. It's not an easy game at all. But to remain on top, they've got to be 100% committed in their diet, in their exercise, in turning up at training. They got to listen to the coach. They got to do everything that coach tells them to do if they're going to remain successful in their game. And that's probably in many different fields. Businessmen, small businesses, big enterprises, governments. There's a commitment level. And that, you know, and it's got to be your life. A lot of people make boxing their life or football their life. That's their all in all. Okay, but when you make God your life and the Lord Jesus Christ your life and his word, and the commitment to bring that to other people is a lifetime thing. It doesn't end when you stop boxing or when you stop playing football. Mm-hmm. It's a continual thing, you know. So it's a really great cause to be committed to. And God is going to bring about his plan. Jesus Christ was also fully persuaded. John chapter 4, we'll see this. John chapter 4, I'll let you get there. And I'll take a sip of my tea. Thank you. So John chapter 4, verse 31 says, "In the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that you know not of. Therefore said the disciples one to another, Have any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work." Wow, that's commitment right there. And what's your meat? Are you committed to finishing the work that God's given you? You know, this is what I ask myself, and I'm asking you, and whoever's listening to on the tape now. "Say ye not, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes, and look on the fields, for they are already, they're white, all ready to harvest." So some people see outreach of God's word sometime in the future. We must see it in the immediate present. The outreach of the word is now. And like when Joshua said, "Choose you this day who you will serve." See, the outreach of the word is now. It's not down the road when we see things build up. We are the ones that build it up as we're walking by the Spirit of God. So his followers said to Jesus, 4 months yet to harvest, but Jesus knew that the important crop was right at that very moment. The disciples didn't perceive this because they were not yet convinced and committed to their cause. That's why they didn't see it. But it's right now, I'm committed to it. I know there's so many believers that are non-functional in Bristol right now, and they're wonderful people, but they got taken off. They got distracted. And regardless of what happens in our walk, we can stay committed to God. Kind proof of that, because when everything went away from here, going back in 1999, I was the only one doing fellowship. Remember, no one wanted to know. I went around all the believers, come on, let's keep this going, let's keep moving. So it wasn't until 2000, John Schroyer come over from the Christian Family Fellowship, and it took someone with, you know, a wonderful man of God like that, with a bit of influence, and knew some people to kind of encourage people to get it back on. And then we started the fellowships regularly, remember, and the things started to build up again to a certain degree. But now it's new. Now the things are fresh. And so God will give us those people as we desire to him, as we're committed to him. Why would God bring someone to a fellowship that's not committed to him? Now, that's not saying we got to sacrifice everything else and, oh, well, the work's not important, the kids are not important, they can stay in bed, I'm up praying. No. There's a balance with all these things. And God is a God of order, so we should be in order. So these guys, these disciples here, they were still kind of mentally assenting, not acting on their convictions, like as an example. So Jesus Christ knew that now's the time. Everything's ripe now. And I say the same, it's ripe now. We don't have to, you know, hang about. You know, we just be led by the Spirit of God, but we need to be committed so that we can move forward and see what God wants us to do. When you get focused in and tuned in with God, he's going to start to show you what to do, even bigger than you've been doing it. Can you see what I'm saying? So it's not like you've not been doing anything, right? Your hearts are there. But I'm saying we can really fine-tune and focus with God, and it's not dependent upon me telling you or telling anyone else. It's just I'm putting the things out there for your consideration. Now you take it up with the Father. What do you want me to do, Lord? You know, I'm not going to come and check on you. You know, that's not my job to see where you are. Well, what did you think about this teaching? Are you going to get committed now? No. It's none of my business what you do, God. Can you see what I'm saying? But it is my business to say what the Father shows me to say, and to show forth his word that he's put in my heart to show forth. And so then it's up to me to, by myself, to go through this and, okay, Father, yeah, there's some things that touch my heart. It helped me to shore up those loose areas. And so these things are important. So we need to just do like Jesus Christ was saying there, lift up your eyes. We need to, in other words, look up, wake up. Wake up to what's going on around you, where you are with your walk spiritually. How far do you want to take that with God? He's waiting on you. He's made everything available for all of us. But the commitment is between you and him, no one else. And then that commitment will show, once you've made your commitment, if you're going to make a commitment with God. Can you see what I'm saying? So it's just really wonderful, and it's very free. It's by his wonderful grace that we're saved. It's not by our works, but to move within those works, in that power, in that authority, then it's going to take a commitment, a real commitment to the Father. Not to any man or woman or ministry, but to the Father. And then God will show you who to be with, where to connect, what to do. Can you see? These things are just so important. In Matthew 6:24 it says, "No man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." You cannot serve God and mammon, right? Or material things. But it's just showing you the example. If you're trying to do both, you're not committed to any of them. You know what I mean? You can't do it. You're going to serve one or the other. And that's why when we make up our mind by our free will choice and decision that we're not being led off and deceived by the devil, and then we commit to that stuff because we're deceived, but from our clear mind and understanding of the scriptures and our commitment with God and what he wants, then we make up our mind. We're calling the shots with God. So we're saying, no, God, I'm going to walk with you. But we're not being deceived to walk with and be uncommitted, can you see? Because that's a deceiving that the adversary does. They're really just smart, like, no, so God puts you in control of what you want to do. You know, you've got that freedom. The adversary leads you off and bind you up, so you think this is what you've always got to do. Matthew 6:25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment?" Yes, it is. And that life, true life, comes through Jesus Christ. And when we're walking in him, see what I'm saying? Then we're having the truth. Everything else, these things will be taken care of. But because of the way the systems of the world is getting geared up, you know, you've got to have this, you've got to have that, and the prices are hiking up and the bills are coming in, then we end up in debt and all these things, then it's just the pressure. So it's like pleasure or pressure. Pressure, and it always comes down to the pleasure or the pressure. See what I'm saying? But we, if we're walking with God, we don't have to let the pleasures distract us, and we don't have to let the pressure distract us, because we know that we're trusting in God and our commitments to Him, regardless of anything else. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, verse 26, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Of course you are. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. He had everything. Everything. Wisdom, money, women, castles, houses, knowledge, wisdom, all this stuff. And he wasn't even arrayed like one of these that doesn't even work or toil, but just grows. Right? Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? And at times our faith is little, because we let these five senses hit us. And that's why it blessed me when God showed me, say what you want, not what you see. We say the promises of God. We say what God says about our situations. And verse 31, therefore take no thought, saying what you shall eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. He knows what you need. But don't worry about all that. He knows what you need. This is what he wants you to do. Seek ye first the kingdom of God every day, and his right way of living. How would God have me? And all the things that you need shall be added unto you. And I've been living like that. And it's true, you take care of God's business, he's taking care of yours. Right there in those verses, that's what that's saying. In other words, God wants us to set our mind on things above, not on the things of this earth. And the things of this earth just really crowd out the joy of the fellowship with the Father and our fellowship with one another. We may see people have more than we have, and we want that, and then we pray to God, well, they've got that and I haven't got that. You see what I'm saying? And the priorities become wrong, and then our commitments change, because then we think we've got to go and get the things that other people got, because that's the abundant life. And you see what I'm saying? But if we just keep God first, just love him with all our heart, soul, mind and strength. Love people as you love yourself. That's what we should be busy about doing, and making our commitment to the Father, so that we can move ahead with the things that God has called us to do. So God bless you.